It's good to see everybody here this morning. Glad that you're here. And let's all be in prayer this week for all those that are sick. And glad that some are better. Glad Tommy can be here tonight. Glad Linda is better and she's with us. And just need to be in prayer. I want to begin this morning with a confession. Someone said a short pencil beats a long memory any day, and it's true. My wife has told me that many, many times. Write it down. Last week I did. And I mentioned five people that were mothers of people that we're praying for, and I've reminded them way out that I missed one, and that's Tracy's mother and father. And I apologize for that. I'm sorry. Just didn't think. I don't know. I should have written it down. I have it written down now, that's for sure. So I won't forget it, but it is Patricia Moore's mother, Nelda Hinton's, Norman Brown's, Randy Pyle's mother, Tracy Trousdale's, and Daniel McClellan's mother. And we have quite a few others on our list who are relatives. We have brothers and sisters, we have aunts and uncles, we have quite a few friends that need to be remembered in prayers. But let's remember all these people. And as I've often said, if you can't remember them, that's fine. Just take your bulletin and just go and read down it and say, God, I'm praying for this week through the names. There's nothing wrong with that. You may want to do part of the names one time, part of the names another time. That's fine too. But let's be praying for these people. We need to be in prayer because they need our help. And the best we can do for them is to pray for them, to give them the best we have, and that's prayer. Let's bow now for a word of prayer together. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the power of the Bible, what it means to our lives, and what it can help us to become. We know, Father, that we sin. We're sorry. We don't want to sin, but we know we do. We all fall short, and we just want to improve day by day. Do better each day than we've done the day before. Help us to do so. Help us to be better with our families. As men, help us to be better husbands. The wives to be better wives. Help us all to be better sons and daughters if our parents are still living. If we have children, we pray that we might be better parents. If we have brothers and sisters, that we might be better brothers and sisters to those in our family. We have aunts or uncles, whoever it might be, Father, help us to be better in our relationships and our families and to give you the honor and the glory because you've changed our hearts and our lives. Bless us now as we study your word, we pray through Christ, and amen. This morning, I would like us to turn over to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 5. To start with, I'm going to be reading down to chapter 6, but want to begin with chapter 5 of the book of Hebrews. Tonight, Brother Andy Irwin will be with us. He will give us an update on his work, the preacher training that he's done around the world. He's performed with, I think it's two schools up in Tennessee, and two in Africa, and I think they started another one in England, but around the world, and looking at other places. He also helped in schools in the Philippines and places. So it's been very interesting, very good work. Be here tonight to hear about that good work. That you'll also be adding that to your prayers as well. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse number 12. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. But when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Now I become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on in perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of doctrine of baptisms and of laying on hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. The context here shows that there was a failure on the part of some Christians to grow on and to mature. The Hebrew writer says, let us go on unto perfection. That word perfection really is the word that sometimes is translated mature or complete. That is, you've been immature, you've been acting like babies, you've been acting like children, you need to grow up, and you need to stop going with the first principles, and you need to mature. Now, we don't know exactly who this is written to. Likely it's written to Jewish Christians, maybe in Judah, maybe in Jerusalem, we're not positive completely, but it does seem that that would fit there. And if this be the case, likely it's people who have been Christians maybe for 30 years. Many scholars think that the book of Hebrews was written about the year 65, maybe 70, sometime before the destruction of Jerusalem. But somewhere in that period, 65 to 70, somewhere along that, if that be the case, then some of these people who have been Christians maybe on the day of Pentecost were still Christians, and they have been there for 30 years. They have been members of the Lord's church for 30 years, and they were still discussing, still studying, still going over the first principles of the oracles of God. And the Hebrew writer says, we need to go on to perfection. We need to mature in our lives. And that's what we want to talk about this morning, that is going on unto perfection. We've had a lot of good works in this congregation over the years, but sometimes we can be so satisfied with what has happened in the past, we need to go on to perfection, go on to completion, go on to maturity in our personal lives. So that's what I want us to think about this morning. Not as a congregation. Certainly we need to do more. We need to do as best we can, appointing elders and doing good works and things of this nature. But in our personal lives, let's go on to maturity. First of all, we need to go on to maturity in the holiness of life. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and says, God has not called us into uncleanness, but unto holiness. 1 Thessalonians 4:7. Paul also wrote to the Romans and said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Jesus talked about the way that we are to live in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Salt certainly preserves and helps, gives flavor. Light is the way that one should go when there's darkness that one is able to see in that situation. It's interesting that what Jesus said there, he said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now that word good that he uses there is not the usual word translated good. It is the word that does include things that are morally good, morally right in and of themselves, but it really takes in a broader aspect of it, things that are beautiful to behold. In other words, you do things that people will look at and will say, you know, that's just wonderful. I'm just glad somebody's doing that. Somebody's doing that good deed, that good thing. That's just beautiful to behold. If you help somebody when nobody asks you to, when you do something when nobody expects it, if you all of a sudden see a lady in the grocery store and she finds out she's, say, $5 short on her groceries and she can't pay for it all, and you say, look here, I'll pay for it. I'll just take care of whatever she needs. Somebody might see that and say, you know, that's a good thing. That's a nice thing. Well, that's a beautiful thing. And they see your good work, your beautiful works, and glorify the Father who is in heaven. We need to be holy in our lives. That is, that we are separate, we are distinct, we are different from everybody in the world. Now, that brings sometimes a backlash. Sometimes it means that somebody's not going to like it. Sometimes people are going to say, why do you do that? Somebody's going to say, you know, you're not going to get anything out of it. Somebody's going to maybe make fun of it. All that happens, but we're going to be holy people. That is, distinct people. People that are separated people. People that are living a different life to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Secondly, we can go on to maturity with works of benevolence. The Bible has a lot to say about it. Paul told the Galatians, bear one another's burdens, Galatians chapter 6. In verse 10, that same chapter, says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially that of the household of faith. James wrote to the brethren in James chapter 1, pure religion undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Paul encouraged the brethren in 1 Corinthians 15:58 to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. And we need to be aware of the fact that the people in the world are hurting. And they're hurting many times because of sin. Maybe it's their own sin. Maybe it's a sin of somebody in their family. Maybe it's something that's happened. The family is in trouble. Things have happened. But we need to have compassion. We need to have love. We need to have concern. And we need to remember that many times in the Gospels, it says Jesus looked on them with compassion. I'm well aware of the fact that many times people, individuals, bring on the troubles and the problems by their own doing. It's their own decisions, their own faulty decisions, their own bad decisions they make in life. And because of those bad decisions, they are paying the price for it. Now, I'm well aware of that. But we need to say, look, we'll try to give you the help that you need. If you need to get to a 12-step program, we'll take you to the 12-step program. If you need some help in doing this or doing that, if you need counseling, we'll take you to the counselor. Whatever you need, however we can help you, whatever we can do, we'll pray for you, we'll encourage you, we'll strengthen you, we'll study the Bible with you, we'll do all that you can to overcome your problems, to get help in this particular situation in life. The suicide rate, unfortunately, goes up every single year. Now, not drastically, it doesn't go up by 20 or 30% every year, but it goes up. Every year, sometimes it's just a quarter of a percent, sometimes it's a half a percent, but it's always going up. More people, more young people are committing suicide. It shows that there needs to be a benevolent spirit on the part of God's people. And I'm well aware of the fact that we do participate in a lot of benevolent works. We help the children's home. We've helped other people. We've given things to help individuals. All kinds of things that have happened. But we, as individuals, need to do what we can and say, look, I'm just going to try to help people the best that I can. Thirdly, we need to go on to maturity, go on to perfection in the area of edification. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about this. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and said, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you're doing. The New International Version of that translation said, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just in fact as you are doing. Build each other up, encourage one another. The Hebrew writer said over in chapter 3, he says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another and one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened for the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort one another daily. That's encouraging one another. You know, it's so easy to tear people down. It's because we all have faults. We all make mistakes. And it's so easy to tear anybody down, to pick out their faults and to do whatever you can. Paul told Timothy, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. So many times we're good on the reproving, we're good on the rebuking, but we're kind of weak on that exhorting. We need to be people who will exhort and encourage one another. Somebody said, pick your friends, but not to pieces. And I think that's true. That we will do what we can to help one another, to encourage one another, to edify one another in our daily lives. And then fourthly, we need to be going on to perfection in the area of preaching the gospel of Christ. The world needs the gospel. The only thing that's going to change people's lives is the gospel. No government program, whether it be by Republicans or Democrats or Independents or whoever, is going to change and take care of the needs of the world. The world is only going to be changed by the gospel of Christ. And that's our commission. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. People need the gospel of Christ. They need the good news. That's what gospel means, good news. They need to hear that Jesus came, he lived, he died, he rose from the grave, he ascended to heaven, and he's coming back. That's good news. They need to know how to respond to good news. By reading the Bible, it's a simple matter to see how much people need the gospel. Read the book of Romans, the first three chapters. Chapter 1, Paul talked about how the Gentiles needed the gospel. From verses 18 to the end of the chapter, Paul lists all that long sin, a list of sins that the Gentiles committed. They needed the gospel. In chapter 2, he begins then with the Jews. The Jews would say, yes, the Gentiles needed it, but Paul said, no, you Jews need it too. In chapter 2, he talks about the lives of the Jews, that their lives were just as bad as the lives of the Gentiles. They needed the gospel. In chapter 3, he talks about how even the scriptures had prophesied and talked about how all people, including the Jews, would need the gospel. And Paul concludes the section of chapter 3, verse 23, he says, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Everybody needs the gospel. As long as there's one person, one country, one village, one family that hasn't heard, our job is not done. Well aware of the fact that no congregation, no individual can go to the entire world and preach the gospel to the billions of people in that world. But we can do our part. We can encourage and be praying for those missionaries that we support. We can be encouraging them when they come and make their annual reports and encourage them to keep up the good work. We can encourage them by sending them a card or a letter sometime to say we're praying for you. We can do all that. And we can take on other good works and preaching the gospel. Not only that, but we need to be aware that we've got a responsibility here at home. That our responsibility isn't just overseas. It's that fellow across the street. It's that neighbor next door. It's that co-worker. It's that brother-in-law that you don't like. It's that person that comes by who seems to be just so rude and ungracious that you just can't stand them. That person needs the gospel. And so you might say, well, David, they wouldn't come even if we asked them. They may not, but they may. And there have been many times when people said, you know, nobody's ever invited me to a gospel meeting. I heard of a brother one time who was talking to people about coming to the gospel meeting. And the fellow said to him, well, I don't know if I want to come or not. And I don't know, what is a gospel meeting? What are you talking about? But I said, well, it's what some people call a revival, where we have a special meeting preaching the gospel, where we do everything we can to encourage one another to be closer to God and to study the Bible. The man had never heard about that and decided he'd come. But he had never heard of that phrase, gospel meeting. Well, you say to somebody, I want you to come to our gospel meeting, they may not know what it is, have a chance to explain it to them. We need to remember that Jesus said they shall all be taught of God, and that we have a responsibility to those people in our neighborhood, those people in our families, those people we work with, those people that we've known through the years, all of those people that we know we have a responsibility to. And I'm well aware again that nobody can do it to everybody. I'm well aware of the fact that there were teachers in your school that probably have died and gone, and you can't talk to them now. But you can talk to the people that you associate with. You can talk to people that you see. You can invite friends and neighbors to gospel meetings. You can do everything you can to spread the gospel of Christ. Now, we need to be aware of the fact that Jesus really made clear in the Sermon on the Mount that you just don't get by. That you go on. And that's why the Hebrew writer was really chastising these brethren, because they've been Christians, some of them, for 30 years, and they should have been going on to maturity, they should have been going on to perfection, but they weren't. Jesus made it clear in Matthew chapter 5, and he said, whosoever shall compel thee to go 1 mile, go with him 2. And that's what we need to do. The idea of just doing the minimum, no. Jesus said, you do the minimum, and then some. He says, your law says go 1 mile, you go 2. You do whatever you can to go beyond. When you get to that mentality, that I'm not just going to do the minimum, I'm going to do the maximum, I'm going to do the most that I can do for the cause of Christ, then you'll be going on to maturity. You'll be going on to perfection. I hope and pray all of us will do so. Now we're going to sing our invitation hymn. If you've not obeyed the gospel, I invite you to do it this morning. Believe in Jesus as God's Son, if you want to repent of your sin, set your faith in Christ, put him on in the waters of baptism. That is the obedience to the gospel of Christ. The Lord adds you to his church. Nobody focuses on you. Nobody asks you any questions. Nobody had to sign anything. You are added not by us, you're added by God. Not only that, but if a person or brother or sister needs to rededicate their life, the invitation is in the Bible. What one must do, they must repent. You must pray for forgiveness. If you need to rededicate your life this morning, why not do so? If you have a need for prayer, we'll pray with you. Whatever your needs might be, we encourage you to come. We invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.